It's Alum Group's Andrea Lay, PacFew's Melissa Burdick, live with me here in Connecticut, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Tree, and I'm PBSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 15th, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them hubristically intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with Retail Wit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Melissa, kick us off.
Hey, Fresh Four listeners. Dollar General celebrates opening its 20,000th store. There you go, 20,000. U.S.-based discount retailer Dollar General has opened its 20,000th store, celebrating the occasion in Alice, Texas. The grand opening celebrations were attended by senior leaders and vendors. Dollar General Executive Vice President of Store Operations and Development, Steve Deckard, commented, "We believe each store provides a positive impact in our hometowns through convenient access to affordable essentials, career growth, opportunities for employees, and the ability for local nonprofits, schools, and libraries to advance through Dollar General Literacy Foundation grants." Dollar General also awarded $20,000 to support educational and tutoring programs through donations to a local library and community group, as well as providing new books to a local elementary school. Dollar General employs more than 17,500 Texas employees through its store, distribution center, and private fleet presence in the state. On to you, Sri.
Thank you, Melissa and Peter. Jessica Alba has actually stepped down as Chief Creative Officer of The Honest Company, a company she founded. So after nearly 12 years of the company, Alba shared the news in an Instagram post on Tuesday, April 9th. "It is with grateful heart that 12 years after founding The Honest Company, I'm stepping down from my leadership role as CCO. However, I will continue to provide strategic advice through my role on the board," Alba wrote. What's next, Peter?
Oreo reimagines ubiquitous internet menu icon to dole out discounts. Mondelez international brand Oreo has launched a commerce activation dubbed the Oreo menu that aims to re-envision the internet's ubiquitous three-line hamburger menu navigation tool as a two-stacked Oreo cookies. Key to the effort is a microsite where consumers can enter any tab or category name they see when clicking on the three-bar menu icon on the internet as a promo code to receive a deal for Oreo cookies that can be redeemed at Kroger as part of an exclusive partnership. The activation includes an explanatory video and is being driven by influencer content along with digital and social media to drive engagement. The effort follows Oreo's first Super Bowl ad in a decade earlier this year. Andrea, what do you have to close us out?
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Shein has copyright infringement baked into its business model. Shein is facing a class action lawsuit that alleges that the fast fashion company uses an industrial scale scheme of systematic digital copyright infringement against small designers and artists, according to court documents last week. Attorneys for the group of plaintiffs say that Shein uses sophisticated electronic systems that algorithmically scour the internet for popular works created by artists and misappropriates these works to manufacture and sell them as Shein products without attribution to the creators. The complaint is the latest in a series of copyright infringement lawsuits filed against the fast fashion giant, including an ongoing one from last year that claimed violation of the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act.
Thank you, Andrea. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sri and Peter.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the CPG Guys podcast. I'm PVSB, the savory CPG guy. My domains of expertise revolve around digital shelf content, retail, customer data insights, CRM, and loyalty. And my co-host, Well, he's the sweet CPG guy. He's a subject matter expert at branding, direct-to-consumer, unified commerce, retail media, and marketplaces. Please join me in welcoming the man with the golden voice, Sri. Sri, how you doing today?
More like the radio face. But Peter, pleasure doing this week over week with you. And for our audience to note, this is the first time he's called me the sweet CPG guy. Usually he calls me the cold guy, the evil guy, or the Yankees loser. But
the grumpy guy too. Don't forget grumpy.
Grumpy.
I called you grumpy. All right. Thank you for that, Sri. And before we get to our guests, I want to remind our audience that all of our content, we did a big series on e-commerce profitability. We had a women's leadership series where Sri and I were very pleased to be able to contribute $8,000 to the Susan G. Komen Foundation, our founder series from Q1 of this year. All of that is available for the very affordable price of zero. It's free, and you can find it by just visiting cpgguys.com. And while you're there, if you want to click on the link to our LinkedIn page, and once you get there, click follow. That way you're going to be kept apprised of all the content that we're sharing. LinkedIn is our primary mechanism for doing that. We hope you'll join us there. We just crossed 5,200 followers. That's incredible from our perspective. We thank all of you for doing that. But we'd like you to be part of the community. It's a great way to learn about all the stuff we're talking about. So on to the main event. Our guests today come from a rapidly growing instant needs company. If you're watching on video, you'll know that right now, Sri and I are performing an homage to our guest today. We're talking about, of course, GoPuff. And they recently acquired BevMo, a 160-plus store neighborhood retailer of alcoholic beverages located on the West Coast. Boy, I can't wait to dig in there. GoPuff started in the Philadelphia market, delivering everyday essentials to households. They now service over 650 U.S. cities out of 250 distribution centers. Wow. Here to speak with us about the analytics behind the phenomenal growth of GoPuff and some of the great ways brands can partner with GoPuff to increase brand sales through their platform are Andy Berman, the VP of Media Sales and Operations, and Alina Bilger, Head of Strategic Development. Andy, Alina, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
We're great. Thank you so much for having us, Peter and Sri.
Excited to be here.
Welcome. Oh, we're beyond, as you can see, as we're fanboying y'all's business with our t-shirts. We're very happy to have you here today. We think this is tremendous and we're so excited to get in. Hey, Andy, our audience likes to research. They want to learn all about you while they're listening to you and they want to understand your business. Would you first let them know where they can find GoPuff on the web and also on like app stores? And then would you kind of give us a brief overview of your business in your words?
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, www.gopuff.com is the easiest way to find us on the web. And then, of course, in the App Store and the Google Play Store as well, which is where we certainly see the vast majority of our traffic and where the vast majority of the buying behavior takes place on mobile. A little bit about the business. We really view ourselves as category defining. We've carved out a niche that we call the instant needs category, and we've carved out a brand of commerce that we refer to as Go Commerce. And if you think about the instant needs category, it's exactly what it sounds like. It is everything from cleaning supplies to pet care to baby products, which are some of our fastest growing categories, to alcohol, to sports drinks, to pain medication. If you can imagine that you'd want it in under 20 minutes, we likely sell it or we will soon. I think what is interesting about this category and about the company, you know, more broadly, is that this is a company that really grew up out of a first generation American immigrant pair of entrepreneurs who started the business while they were students at Drexel University. And from day one, this is a business that had an intense focus on fiscal responsibility, on profitability, and on putting the customer at the very center of what we do. And so even though the growth has been explosive over these past several years, we're still very, very grounded in those values.
Wow. Thanks, Andy. That's a great overview of your business. We really appreciate it. Sri and I are anxious to get to the questions, so why don't we just jump right in? I'm going to lead off, and this one's going to go to Alina. So what were some of the customer needs or consumer needs that GoPuff was ideally trying to address with its business model? And why did you decide that you wanted to control the entire customer experience from browsing through purchase all the way to fulfillment?
So GoPuff was initially founded on this need for convenience. One of the lines that our founders love to say that I really love was they recognized while they were in college that the convenience store was no longer convenient. You had to get in your car, had to go. Maybe it was sold out of what you wanted. Maybe it was far away. Maybe you didn't have a car and you just couldn't get those items. And so convenience was really at the center of what we did and where we started was they said, okay, we need to drive convenience in a new manner. And that was really the need, was what could people need at any point in time in that convenience? So it started with that, with targeting those C-store products. So that's, you know, the chips, the beverages, perhaps some other personal care items. But it really grew from there. And as Andy just said, became more of this idea of instant needs. So convenience was one element of it. And that was all about saving people time, getting them what they need. But then instant needs kind of began to evolve out of that. Was all right, we're seeing that there's actually a behavior shift, that it's not just about convenience, it's about getting people the products at any point in time that they could want or need. And so that evolution has really come into this ability to change consumer behavior, to give people a new way to think about getting the items that they want or need at any point in time, if they can't leave the house, don't want to leave the house, and kind of have that at their fingertips. And so a big, big piece of that was that vertical integration, as you mentioned, controlling it from browsing all the way to delivery. By having that integration, we own all of our products. We're able to understand what's in stock. We're able to control our pack times, watch the delivery, make sure customers have someone they can call if something goes wrong, really have that whole end-to-end experience, and then also capture the data across the board to understand where we can optimize, where the demand lies, and how we can continue to lean into that idea of those wants and needs further and further and continue to drive up that idea of convenience.
Andy and Alina, first of all, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you both. And I can also proudly claim that I've actually been to your headquarters about a year ago before the pandemic happened. That said, Andy, this next one's for you. You know, looking through your background, you spent close to a decade long at Facebook building its audience network. And clearly you have a deep media background. What is your go forward focus for GoPuff?
Yeah, so, as you said, I spent a decade at Facebook. And in that time, I worked across our retail business there, our CPG business there, and then also our audience network business, which is Facebook's programmatic arm. And my focus at GoPuff is actually bringing together the best of all three of those experiences to craft what I believe can be one of the most powerful retail media offerings in the world. I think, you know, the market still remains largely confused in a lot of instances between the difference, about the difference between marketplace businesses and true retail businesses. And if you are operating a marketplace business, what you are fundamentally doing is attempting to find margin within a transaction between a seller and a buyer, without actually producing any margin on that product. GoPuff is in a remarkably unique situation within that landscape because, as Alina spoke to and as we've mentioned a couple of times, we are a vertically integrated retailer. And within that, we have the ability to not only control the consumer experience, but also control a much different media experience than what you find in a lot of other places. And what that means is that we are able to both understand and optimize for lifetime value in ways that a lot of the other players in the space are not. And so my focus since joining GoPuff has been really kind of deeply understanding, attempting to deeply understand, I should say, still early in this journey, what are those key drivers of lifetime value? And what is it that makes the GoPuff platform so sticky and so drive so much loyalty amongst the consumers who come back to us over and over again? Within that, there are incredibly powerful stories to go and tell brands. And so my area of focus is one, understanding the stories that the data is telling us, and then two, finding the right ways to amplify those stories into the marketplace so that the brands that are experiencing the most retail success on GoPuff can also experience the most advertising success. I know that we'll get to this a little bit later, but one of the things that is so powerful about GoPuff is that we're capturing somebody at a moment when they've made a decision to purchase. And so browsing is highly intentional on our platform. And given that, the opportunity to influence a purchase is very different than if you're capturing somebody who is higher in the funnel and not necessarily ready to buy. And that is really where I see the big opportunity from a media standpoint.
Andy, you used a two-word combination that Sri loves even more than Yankees win, and that's retail media. So let's double click a little bit. I'd love to understand from
you. By the way, Peter, it's also because the Yankees are not getting a lot of wins these days.
Well, I was going to say, Sri, but I didn't want to rub salt into the wound.
And Peter is posting about that every single day on Instagram, but our day will come.
Yes, you just keep hoping, Sri. Keep hope alive. Anyhow, so back to my question, Andy. I'd love to know how GoPuff is involving brands in creating a really compelling customer experience through your service.
Yeah, so it's a great question, and it's a really important one because, you know, the easy answer here would be, hey, we're capturing consumers at this incredibly valuable moment in time, and so we're just going to put a brand message in front of them. And that, quite frankly, would be a perfectly credible and easy way to build this business. And it is a part of our story, but it is not the entire story by a long shot. So one of the things that we're very focused on inside of GoPuff is an arm of our business called the Creative Studio. It's an in-house creative agency, and they are tasked specifically with creating bespoke experiences for brand partners that come alive not only on GoPuff inside of our owned and operated app ecosystem, but also in a host of different physical environments that we own and operate. And so if you think about the GoPuff experience, it's very kind of easy and logical to think about it as the owned and operated app experience. But what that leaves out is that we have 160 plus BevMo locations where we can go activate on behalf of a brand. And so our focus is really on tying together the physical store infrastructure and the digital experience on behalf of brands to create one unified GoPuff experience. In terms of bringing to life great brand experiences, what we do is we attempt to focus on those really big brand moments. And so part of our best practice internally is really kind of understanding a brand's activation calendar throughout a year, understanding what those really big moments are, and then aligning that to some of GoPuff's big priorities. Let me crystallize that with an example. This year, we're going to be launching in a host of new markets, and those new market launches are only ever going to happen once. You know, we're only going to go live in Las Vegas and New York City one time. As we do that, we're enrolling and enlisting brand partners to be a part of those launch platforms with us. And so while that obviously includes placement within our app ecosystem, it also includes a lot of physical out of home and retail activation as well.
Alina, Peter and I have been trained over multiple decades in the CPG industry that data and insights platforms is how we've really shaped consumer outcomes of experiences, innovation, and things of that nature. When a brand chooses to partner with you, what kind of insights can they expect back from you, especially as product moves through the platform? And in return, what do you expect from brands when you choose to partner with the brand? And how do these come together?
Yeah, I mean, I love this question. And I come from the data and insights background too. So this is a big passion area of mine. When it comes to the insights that GoPuff has, I mean, being vertically integrated, being a direct-to-consumer platform, we have a wealth of understanding about shopper behavior, shopper insights, product trends, product insights, the market. And being GoPuff, being this instant needs delivery platform, it's not just about shopper insights. It's about understanding the demand moment when it's happening. You know, I've worked with a lot of CPGs in the past, and one of the biggest questions I used to get in past lives was, well, what triggered the trip? What happened between the need and when they got to the store? In this case, that need and the product in hand is such a short window. We actually deeply understand this moment of instant consumption, this idea of that craving. And so it's all of those insights that we deliver to our brands. It's understanding when products are being sold, who is buying them, what else they tend to purchase, what that frequency looks like, where they are. And we can form these big stories around it. We can help brands understand that you've got one shopper segment that tends to skew to the East Coast that has healthier carts, but will eat unhealthy twice a week. And they like you, but they like your competitor more. You know, that's a lot of what our brands get. They get this narrative and they get this strategy, and then we build everything through Andy's team against that strategy. If we understand this about them, when do we advertise to them? When do we market new products? How do we introduce them to things that we know they need based on their search terms, based on their cart behavior? And how do we make sure we can make that experience even stronger? And so as we work with brands, you know, it's not just about getting data reports. It's not just about one-off insights. It's about these deeper shopper and product strategies that can help inform all of their decision-making, from their sales strategies all the way into innovation and R&D. What do consumers want? What are they reacting to and why? In exchange, what we look for from brands is, what other information do they know? What do they know about their consumers in that retail space? You know, what patterns have they seen? What challenges are they seeing? And in some cases, how is that data different from our own? We've had instances of brands calling us saying, these products are dropping in stores and brick and mortar, but they're flying on GoPuff. What's happening here? And again, the realization was, this is an impulse product. This is a product that people want when they see it, but it's not top of mind. And suddenly that created a cascading strategy that completely affected how they thought about their business. And so getting that data back from brands is so, so helpful, because we can really then make that 360 strategy and even change how we think about their products with customers.
Alina, that's great. Thank you for helping us understand the application of the insights in working with the brands. Now we're going to get to the question that I've been dying to get an answer from for months since it occurred. You know, late last year, GoPuff decided to acquire a traditional brick and mortar alcohol beverage retailer on the West Coast, BevMo. We talked about that in our opener. Can you share with our audience what was kind of the strategic intent behind this acquisition, and kind of what synergies do you think you're going to be able to offer the people who are using GoPuff?
Yeah, absolutely. This was a really exciting move for GoPuff, and very kind of, I think, a little out of the box. It was surprising for a lot of people, especially, you know, looking at BevMo, which is a leading specialty retailer. They have a big presence, and a lot of their in-stores is you know, how they do that. They have a lot of delivery, a lot of in-store, and us being tech was a very interesting marriage. But, you know, acquiring gave us a really strategic and meaningful way for us to enter California. You know, it was a geography we were deeply interested in. We wanted to do it right, and we wanted to really understand the customer base going there. And by acquiring BevMo, we were able to instantly hit 30% of California who was already within delivery range, and we could just expand from there. And so it was a very direct and efficient route to these new customers, to new geographies. And then for BevMo, it was actually providing a way to get their loyal customers, their depth of customers, a seamless delivery solution.
Wow. And so,
it was a really, really interesting system. And so now we're in that process of doing that integration, of integrating our proprietary tech with a lot of their products, their trends. They have a wealth of knowledge of what people like, what they react to. And there's some synergies and there's some differences. And that's actually the best part, that now we can kind of appeal to a much wider range. There are things that both GoPuff and BevMo customers like, and there are things only GoPuff customers like and only BevMo customers like. And we're being very, very deliberate in making sure we're building out strategies that appeal to that entire scale across the board. But it was really a phenomenal enabling tool, let us get into a whole new space. And they're a fantastic business. And so we're excited to really bring these two really customer-focused companies together.
What a great story, Alina. That is tremendous. Thank you for helping us walk through what the idea was behind this great combination and synergy of these two businesses. Sri?
Alina, thank you for making Peter happy with your answer today and solving a mystery for him. Now he'll get off my back with
dogs. That itch has been scratched. I feel so much better now.
There we go. Andy, I want to go back into the world of media with you. And, you know, the larger the brand you continue to work with, and there's so many in your ecosystem already, one of the things brands are really going to be interested in is, how can I be found very quickly when consumers search for products? And the shortcut to that is search, sponsored search, conquesting, you know, so many words come to mind. But Peter and I love this word the most of it all. It is our favorite topic here on the show, and we call it retail media. So how is GoPuff enabling this for brands? And where are you on the retail media journey? Can brands participate in retail media with you?
Yeah, so let me address that question a couple of ways. The first answer is just a very direct one. Absolutely, brands can participate with us, and we are in market with a series of different products today. So obviously, sponsored search is a critical growth vector for the retail media space, and it is where between 60 and 80% of all retail media investment is headed. That is equally critical for GoPuff and a recently launched product for us. In addition to sponsored search, we also offer paid product placement, and we are exploring, and that's paid product placement within the GoPuff owned and operated ecosystem. And we have a small but growing programmatic offering as well that allows us to take our data and then reach our consumers across the open web, and to do that using all sorts of different creative canvases. And so, you know, the surface that you appear on matters, but so does the creative canvas. And so the ability to target a television advertisement using GoPuff real-time transaction data is an ability that we now have. An ability to target IAB standard creative or native creative inside of other app environments is an ability that we now have. And so over time, we will have the capability to control for reach and frequency across these surfaces, have a deep understanding of what the optimal reach and frequency to trigger a sale and therefore to trigger an appropriate level of ROAS against a given campaign will look like. And that's something that we're, you know, on the one hand, early in doing, but on the other hand, very rapidly developing and excited to, in a matter of weeks, launch in a much broader way than we already have. The other thing that I want to just sort of touch on vis-a-vis where we sit within the retail media journey that is a little bit less product specific is just around this notion of kind of the evolution of the internet and around digital consumption more broadly. And if you think about the kind of initial behaviors that you saw people engaging in online, it really started with browsing. Right. I mean, you remember these days where you'd actually open up a web browser and browse the web, right? And then browsing evolved into search. And we all know who the really big player in search is, right? And then search evolved into discovery, right? Where things you are interested in were actually proactively pushed towards you. And I think one of the things that is so fascinating about GoPuff and the way that we've gone to market is that we combine all three of those behaviors in our experience, right? We are a place where users are, where our customers actually are browsing selection because we do have so much local and bespoke selection. One just quick sidebar point on this is that, well, in the average MFC, we carry around 3,500 SKUs. Nationally, we have north of 20,000, which really speaks to the, you know, kind of number of regional and local brands that we engage with. So certainly browsing is a very common behavior on our platform. Search is also an incredibly common behavior on our platform, but then so is discovery, right? So is that discovery of a local brand that maybe you'd heard of once but had never tried, or that you'd never heard of but never tried. And we really view our platform as not just a growth vector for brands through paid advertising, which of course it is, but also a growth vector for brands from a discoverability standpoint. And so that's one of the things that I think is fairly differentiated around where we sit, not just within the retail media space, but the e-commerce space more broadly.
Andy, thank you for that level of detail. That's the kind of stuff we try to deliver to our audience on this podcast. It's very educational. And you basically told us metaphorically how the sausage is made. And that's what we want to do. So thank you very much for that. So knowing all of this, at a higher level, how do you counsel brands on investing with GoPuff to grow their businesses?
Yeah. So look, I think a lot of this comes down to first principles, and advertising relies on a few first principles. And I'll try to kind of capture them in a number of words, which is reach, frequency, and creative. And what we know is that human behavior can be heavily influenced through the appropriate mix of reach, frequency, and creative. And if you talk to any one of the big brands, whether it's a PepsiCo, a Mondelez, a Nestle, a Coke, you know, any of them, what they will tell you is that this is ultimately a reach game, because all of them rely on not just reaching their existing consumers, but also reaching that next cohort of consumers. And if you talk to smaller brands, challenger brands, or even local brands, reach is that much more important to them. The numbers might be smaller, but the nature of what they need to do, the job to be done fundamentally, is reaching people who could be interested in their product. And so when I counsel brands, what I talk about is the uniqueness of the GoPuff audience and just how hard it is to reach them in any other environment. And what we have found is that we're growing so rapidly with a cohort of consumers that does not have deep loyalty to linear television, that does not have deep loyalty to particular media channels outside of really the biggest of the big. But in those really large media channels, and of course, I'm talking about kind of, you know, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the Snaps of the world, you can't drive a purchase, right? And so if you want to reach people in an environment where you can not only deliver a really compelling brand message, but capture them at a moment when you can influence the purchase they're going to make, we're capturing a remarkably valuable audience at a remarkably valuable moment in time. And then within that, you wrap that in this incredible growth story, right? And so if you look at GoPuff 3 years ago, it was tiny. If you look at it a year ago, it was bigger. And if you look at it today, it's now really big, right? You start folding BevMo into that story. You start folding the opening of north of one micro-fulfillment center every single day. And you start projecting this out 3, 6, 9 months into the future. And you have a behemoth on your hands inside of another 9 months. And so what brands are really doing when they invest in us today is that they are investing in future growth. And so flexing those muscles now, training those muscles now, and being there early means that they won't have to play catch-up when the dream is fully realized. And that's a compelling place, not just for the big guys, but for the small guys too.
3 years ago, it was tiny. A year ago, it was bigger. And now it's really big for Andy. So where I'd like to go next, Alina, and the last question for this episode is, when you're really big now, what's next for you? Or what are those strategic imperatives that you are pursuing to grow GoPuff, as well as to continue to deliver this amazing convenience model for customers in your platform?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as Andy said, as we get bigger, that gives us some freedoms to really start to stretch those walls. And as we continue to evolve what we deliver to our customers from that product standpoint, we're also really starting to explore what other lands are out there, how we can start to give customers different kinds of things, again, that they would need in that on-demand platform and disrupt perhaps a less convenient process. And then we are, you know, as there's been different rumors, different articles sent about what's next in terms of our expansion, and nothing is really off the table. You know, while today we are in the United States, our eyes are looking around everywhere. We're trying to understand what other competitive markets to go into. We're trying to understand where else the opportunities lie, what other pockets of customers outside of just the United States we could be servicing, and how that happens, what that looks like. And so really, as we think about our imperatives, it's all about continuing to evolve that core, but also introducing new business units that are letting us push the limits of how we do things today. And not just, again, not just in the States, but across the world. And what does that look like from a product standpoint, from a services standpoint, so from a partnership standpoint? How can we use our logistics networks in different ways? How can we partner with celebrities in different ways? We have a phenomenal partnership with Chris Paul right now, where we're really thinking about everything from products all the way to different charitable organizations and everything in between. And so nothing is off the table. One of the best parts about GoPuff, and this really comes top down from our founders, is a willingness to try anything, to not necessarily accept status quo, to not be safe, and to disrupt anything that could be disrupted. And so that attitude remains today, no matter how big we get. And as we think about those imperatives, it's all about what do customers want, and then how does GoPuff go deliver it? Not what do we think we can do, but let's just make anything happen.
Congratulations on all the growth.
Thank you.
Let me remind our audience that all of our content, as I mentioned to you earlier, just go to cpgguys.com. It's all there for free. You can get audio podcast, video. You can get a list of our favorite podcasts that we listen to when we're not listening to ourselves talk. You can find all that by going to cpgguys.com. And we're also an audience-driven platform in so far as we want your feedback to help determine what guests, like the great ones we had today from GoPuff, to invite onto the podcast, and what are the topics we pursue. And the best way to do that is just go to ratethispodcast.com/CPGguys. Leave a review there. You can also leave a rating. Sri, what's my favorite number? I think it's five. It's five, but it's up to you, right? Review whatever you want. But seriously, leave a review because that's how we learn from you. So we're going to put in the digital liner notes of this podcast links to, obviously, GoPuff and to your placement on the App Store and Google Play Store. But I want to thank both Alina and Andy for joining us today. Thank you so much. This knocked my socks off. This was a really great episode. You answered all our questions directly. We got some great understanding and education for our audience. The last question I'll just ask you before I ask you to say goodbye to us is, I'd sure love to know and where we can direct brands to, if they're not already engaged with you on this, because Andy has shared with us a lot of great ways they're doing it. How can brands get more engaged with you?
Yeah, so we are in the process of launching an advertiser hub. It will be live very soon. But if anybody is interested in engaging directly with us, I'm going to just offer up my personal email, and it's just andy.berman@gopuff.com. Feel free to reach out. We are very much open for business, and all of the advertise with us web linking will be live quite soon.
All right. We'll put a link to that. But thank you. Thank you, Alina. And thank you, Andy, for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Sri, just a run-of-the-mill episode, right? Nothing really exciting going on here today.
Ha, ha, ha. One more time. We've got the fanboy stuff going on.
We are fanboying all over it. Thank you so much. Sri, this is a great episode.
You bet your bottom dollar.
All right. And to our audience, we are really appreciative that you join us for all of these episodes. We're closing in on 100 episodes. Hard to believe we just launched this last year and we're almost there. But this is a great journey for us. We're thankful that you're on it with us, and we look forward to you joining us on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Thanks. Goodbye. The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.